Welcome to the All Souls Forum here on KKFI. I'm your host, Christina Frazier. Tonight's conversation with Lon Swearingen focuses on his personal experiences advocating for disability rights. Swearingen has been a grassroots disability advocacy organizer, special education teacher, board member, and president of the organization The Whole Person. He's also been arrested several times at disability rights demonstrations. He'll bring us up to speed on the latest in disability rights and issues surrounding the elderly, who may lose their rights in some instances by insurance companies and government agencies when attempting to switch or move out of assisted living. This show was recorded on January 14th at All Souls Unitarian Universalist Church here in Kansas City, Missouri. Our show's format begins with our speaker's presentation and then concludes with the question and answer part of the program. Thanks for tuning in. Now let's join the conversation here at 90.1 FM, KKFI.
All Souls Unitarian Forum Committee. The Unitarian Forum has been established for the discussion and controversial and current issues of the day. We have a long history of trying to present ideas that are timely. Anyway, this morning we have Lon Swearingen with us to talk about civil rights and disability rights. Lon is a long-term friend of mine for many years, 30-something years, as Craig and I were talking this morning. He also met my son. I have a handicapped son who is challenged, has left side deficit, and Lon has encouraged him to be a whole person, and he's actually doing that. So, Lon has a long history with civil rights and issues with disability issues, been arrested a number of times, gone to D.C., and he's kind of a hero in my mind for essentially just standing up for this. So I'll let him talk about what he has to say. Thank you.
Thank you, George. I really appreciate it. I'm going to start out with something that has to do with this church. It goes like this. Human rights help lift everyone. When we were in our last redesign and upgrade for the church, we were sensitive to the needs of people who were transgender or gender nonconforming and put in a neutral restroom. We got a side effect or benefit that it could be a family restroom, but and without thinking about it, also got a restroom for people who use a wheelchair and need the extra maneuverability or to have an attendant. This is what it's about. It's about accommodation. I'm sorry. It's about accommodation, and that's very important because it becomes an issue because of the barriers. Maybe it would be attitudinal. In other words, we hid people with disabilities. We didn't want them out in the front. And I'll show you something here. This hand, they told some in the congregation when I spoke at the podium that I shouldn't bring my hand out because it made them feel uncomfortable. This is what happens and has happened for a long, long time. And what we have is a way of developing a program that would take that away, that proves that people with disabilities can do things, can be people that can earn a living, not just be hidden in the closet or put in an institution. Now, we had great things going on in the country in the 60s. And in 64, there was the Civil Rights Act that was passed. And it basically banned discrimination because of race, religion, national origin, gender. But there was one group left out, and that was people with disabilities. And that is the real problem. So what happens is until 1973, Nothing was being done about that. Pity those that were disabled. We had a president that was disabled because of polio. Did anybody really know that? No, they hid it because he stood when he gave speeches. He was found in a car sitting. And then when they went to basically take and let's make a statue of Theodore or Franklin Delano Roosevelt, and they didn't know which way to go. Do they put him in a wheelchair or do they put him standing up? And I still haven't figured out how they figured out what they would do. But in 1973, there was a bill passed, even though Nixon basically vetoed it twice, but it was passed, and he didn't veto it the last time. So now it's okay, but it hasn't been signed. So guess what? There's a guy, Ford doesn't sign it after Nixon resigns, and then what happens is Carter comes in, Jimmy Carter, the guy that was a Democrat that was going to sign this bill and help. This is 1973, 74, 75, 76, no signing. So guess what happens? There are a group of people that saw what happened in the 60s and said, we're going to do something about it. So they took over buildings and the one building that was taken over more than, and they did a sit-in in 1977. And they wanted Joseph Califano, the HEW person, to sign the bill. And what it really was, what you remember the Civil Rights Bill that gave everybody but disability people with disability a chance to be non-discriminated from, that's what was in the bill on Section 504. And what happened was is very simple. They sat there, they grabbed the sixth floor of the HEW building in San Francisco. And there was a group that was considered a terrible group by the name of the Black Panthers. They provided food. This is what it was about. And the idea is they were there from April 5th to May 28th, and they finally got it signed. So now they were and had their civil rights. This is what it's been about for a long, long time, is how do we make it better? How do we deal with the things that are going on? And it took what they called CIL, or Centers for Independent Living. And I was a part of one that started in 1978, and that was the whole person. And I volunteered. And then I went into other things and did other things. I taught for a number of years. I also was the manager of Penn Place, which was bringing people from the most restricted to a halfway house, which was Penn Place, which turned into a group home, by the way, because of money. And then I got two persons out of that building and into their own apartment. And the problem was the regional center here in Kansas City didn't want this one person out. The reason being, she yelled at grocery clerks, which is kind of odd because I said, there are plenty of people that yell at grocery clerks. And they finally let her get her own place. So that's what my background on the basically civil rights for people with disabilities. Now, it goes from the 1970s to 1990, but during that time there were protests and other things going on. But in the 1990, there was a movement in the Capitol or in Washington, D.C., where plenty of people in wheelchairs got out of their wheelchairs and crawled up the steps to prove that they could do something about this. And what they did was they forced the bill called the Americans with Disability Act, which became law in 1990, and basically gave people with disabilities the right and prohibited discrimination against individuals with disabilities in all areas of public life, including job, school, transportation, and public and private places that are open to the general public. This is something that's important in that it does do this, but there's one problem. And the problem is the barriers. Employment. How does a person with a disability get a job? How do they get into a building? Well, some of these things were taken care of during that period. But the major thing that happened, and this is the real issue, is the Olmstead decision of the Supreme Court said one thing. Deal with it, that the money should follow the person. Meaning that if you were in a nursing home at the time, your insurance, your Medicaid didn't go with you if you got out. And this decision said the money should follow the person. Well, there were other issues going on, and it took until 2008 for the Americans with Disability Act Amendment Act, which is the ADAAA, was signed into law and became effective on January 1st, 2009. The ADAAA made a number of significant changes in the definition of disability. The changes in the definition of the disability in that act apply to the titles of the ADA, including Title I, Employment Practices of Private Employers with 15 or More Employees, State and Local Government, Employment Agencies, Labor Unions, Agents of Employers, and Joint Management, Labor Committees. That was Title I. Title II, Programs and Activities in State and Local Government Entities. And then finally, this three, private entities that are considered places of public accommodations. This became a very strong bill. Yet today, in this past year, there was a bill passed in House Bill 620, which basically said, after all these years, that if you didn't have accessible building, that it had to go through the process so that they could make it accessible. So they had to wait and do all kinds of things before they could get that building to be accessible. This is what we've run into forever, is the idea that basically we're discriminated against. And I've had that happen to me. On one occasion especially, the idea of myself being going through rush week, of all things, to try to get in a fraternity. And the idea is very simple. I got called back that I would be able to go to one of these fraternities, as they do in this kind of thing. But it happened that the president of the fraternity came into my dorm and said, "Lon, I'm sorry we can't call you back. We can't be called the crypt fraternity. This is a real problem for people. Now, back to a real strong, back all the way back to the Olmstead decision. Missouri's money follows the person demonstration grant. And what basically it's saying, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, CMS, awarded a Missouri Follow the Person, MFP, demonstration grant to Missouri in 2007. And the demonstration was awarded for the time period of January 1st, 2007, and had been renewed through September 20th, 2016, with an additional 4 years to spend any awards. The overall goal of the MFP is to support people who have disabilities and those who are aging to move from nursing home facilities or habitual places to quality community settings that meet the needs and wants. In other words, the objective of Money Follows the Person, my life, my way, my community. This is the real problem, because this year, Missouri decided they didn't have enough money because the feds were cutting it off. And therefore, there are many, many people without the ability to get out of institutions. And there was a way of doing it, but the governor decided not to go that route. So this is what it's about. This is the kind of thing that happens. And we have one thing that's going. And this is a bill that I would like everyone to understand that they can do something about it by calling their congressman or calling their senators. And it's the Disability Integration Act. The Disability Integration Act, or the DIA, is a civil rights legislation introduced by Senator Schumer in the Senate and Representative Senator Berner, or I can't pronounce his name right, in the House that addressed the fundamental issue that people who need long-term services and support, which is acronym LTSS, are forced into institutions, losing their basic civil rights. The legislation, Senate 910, House Bill 2472, builds on the 25 years of work that ADAPT has done to end the institutional bias, to end the institutional bias and provide seniors and people with disabilities home and community-based services, HCBS, as an alternative to institutionalization. It is the next step to our national advocacy after securing the community first choice, which was an option for states. This makes it a federal deal. That this is what needs to be done so that anybody that is older, those that have long-term insurance, those that are that need to be out of institutions can be out of institution with personal care, with money from their insurance. This is a true civil rights bill. This is what's going on. And with all the things going on in Congress this year and the president and all this, we need this bill because it's the one thing that can solve a problem of institutionalization of people. Now, one other thing is I am a member of the SILC, or the Statewide Independent Living Council, and we oversee something like this, Centers for Independent Living. Centers for Independent Living are community-based, cross-disabilities, nonprofit organizations that are designed to operate by people with disabilities. CIOs or CFOs is are unique in that they operate according to strict philosophy of consumer control, wherein people with all types of disabilities directly govern and staff the organization's center for independence living. And they provide, one, peer support, two, information and referral, three, individual systems and advocacy. And the last one, which wasn't there when I was president of the whole person, and that is it was going in the direction of, and that's transition, and that means getting people out of nursing homes so that they can live in their own community. The idea is that we have in this state basically 22 Centers for Independent Living. And basically, the whole person serves in Missouri, Cass, Clay, Platte, and Jackson, and in Kansas, Wyandotte and Johnson County. This is our territory. This is the region that we cover as the whole person, and I consider myself basically a whole person because I'm still involved with the foundation part of the whole person. And I was also, and this is the other thing, I was also on the board of what they were called, which is managed care. And that was a corporation with in-home healthcare type thing, management, where somebody was there, the nurses, the this and that. So that was a corporation that they brought in. They changed that, and it's now a department. But what it is basically for the whole person, and I tried to make sure of this, and that is that what would happen is if one of the people in our that the client with the whole person winds up in a hospital because of sickness or something else that went wrong, and then has to be rehabilitated, and then basically goes and has to be in a managed care situation because of something, whatever it is, that we have that too, and they help make sure they get back to becoming independent living. And so therefore, this is primarily what it's about. Now, I have had many, many experiences. I was in Washington, D.C. during the concept of getting money to the people, and I was in David Camp's office, who was the chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee, and I was protesting. And we wound up, I included, arrested. This was in 2011. And basically what happened was is I was taken and I was allowed to keep my arms in front of me, but I still got the wire or the white cuffs type things, not the regular cuffs. And taken down to a hallway because they were going to transfer us to a jail, but they couldn't. So they kept us in a hallway and processed us. And we wound up being there for over 14 hours. Now, the next time I was arrested, which is kind of very interesting because it could happen this time, the government was shut down. We were protesting, and what happened was, is the police, as they do, basically give you three chances. In other words, one, two, three. And if you're staying there, if you're in the area at three, they arrest you. So they did. Guess what? They said, we're not going to do this. You can go. Because we're not going to do the paperwork. Because the government is shut down. We're not going to get paid. So that was the one. And then just recently, I was in Washington, D.C., not this past time, but the time before, where we basically pretended, and this is kind of odd, pretended to be chained to the fence outside the White House. And the idea is that we were trying to make sure that he would come out and do something about what was going on. Well, he didn't, and they said they counted, and they got us. And this is the way a lot of people are arrested in D.C., not always. But what we did is we went through the process of signing our name, making sure that they knew who we were, and they let us go. Basically, after it be assured that they would be paid $50. So that's how they make their money. You arrest somebody. They must have made a fortune off the women and other people, because they did arrest a lot of people. This is what happens in Washington, D.C. Because we've been there for years, since the 80s, and doing that, the police basically find they let us do things that not necessarily are done by others. But we tried to make sure that they don't know where we're going. And I'll never forget the time we were going after, of all people, Nancy Pelosi, because she wouldn't sign on to some of the stuff we wanted. And so we got up at 4:30 in the morning and basically got to her where she was, but they got to us, they got there first. We got a few people in, but it didn't really matter. She didn't do anything anyway. So this is what we do. We try to make a point as an adapter to let people know that we're there. And the perfect example of the acceptance in this is the things that have happened. The ADA, the basically Rehabilitation Act was because of us. And also the revision of the Americans with Disability Act amendment. Because of the simple factor that you have to do something to make them work. One of our problems in the state of Missouri is we're ourselves in that are worried that if we were to protest too much, they would lose their money. Well, they're losing their money anyway because of certain things that happen. The real issue is I'll never forget one time there was a group of us that basically was a part of ADAPT in Missouri. We went to the Capitol. We were there for a day, the disability day type thing. But the funny thing was, we chained ourselves to the Democratic side. And guess what? They're still talking about it, even though there's term limits and everything else. And I think it's partly because we chained ourselves to the wrong door. The other part of that was this was a mistake on our part because it was after the health bill that we didn't want was already passed. So that wasn't too good. But the other part of this was, as Matt Blunt, the son of Roy Blunt, was the governor at the time. And he told the top guard that he wanted us out. And that head person said, just let them stay. They're going to walk out. They're not going to stay. And we did. We walked out because we hadn't planned on doing anything other than the little protest. But had he arrested us, we'd have gotten a lot of the publicity that we wanted. And that was what had happened. So this is the kind of thing that goes on daily in the United States. There's protests all along. Remember what we did. We blocked, along with other allies, the stoppage of the repeal of the Affordable Care Act, although they snuck in something just recently with a tax reform bill that gives money to the top from the most vulnerable in society. And now they're talking about Social Security and Medicare. This is frightening. We could, with what's going on, lose 40 years of progress for people with disabilities. And I'm saying this, that I'll fight until the end. So that's basically where I'm at.
I always learn something from Lon. And we'll take questions. Or Lon will take questions. Anybody? I have one question then. With my personal situation is that my son has a seizure issue, and he has to take a very expensive medication to keep from having seizures. And every year he has to go through a process of proving that he needs this extended-release medication, and it's complex. And sometimes with the new drug act, and like he's not sure he's going to qualify every year. They kind of hold it over his head. Do you have some thoughts on that?
Well, this is why we have the problem we have. In other words, the pharmaceutical industry is in charge of what the government does. And there's your problem, George, is very simple. There's nothing you can do about it unless, and this is the one thing to realize, the idea is you have a president that does all kinds of crazy things. But if you'd have had three non-Republican senators elected, none of this would be happening. In other words, you wouldn't have the Neil Gorsuch or Betsy DeVos or Jeff Sessions, because they couldn't have got him put in office. So it's about the election. All the money that you spend on all these different groups doesn't really mean much if you don't have the Congress or the elected officials that make the laws. Go ahead.
I was a little confused by one thing you said earlier, that's a person in a institution like a nursing home that had insurance, it sounded like they couldn't get out to go to some other community that they would have more freedom. You mean that if you've got insurance, or who is it that decides whether somebody can leave a nursing home?
What it is most people that are in nursing homes are using the government money. In other words, Medicaid. It gets down to that. And what it was is that under the rules, that insurance would not go with them. In other words, that's what it was all about. In other words, they were stuck in the nursing home because if they left, they didn't have any insurance or any way of helping in their disability. The other part to that is that they also needed some, especially if they were in there and had no family or anything else, startup money. That's where the money follows the person, and that's where Medicaid comes in. And there's a process with this that they have the stipend that I talked about that would get them started. And that's what we're losing. The demonstration bill, that they're losing that, so they'll be stuck in the nursing home because they don't have any way to pay after they get out for an apartment, for food, for what, so that they can look for a job or other ways of making money. And this is something that's very important, and that's why it is. But what your question was, it wasn't somebody that had their long-term insurance, although that's true, too, because the insurance company basically said that this is for long-term insurance. This, you go into a nursing home. With the bill, with the disability integration bill, you basically are allowed to take your insurance, even though it says that you should go to a nursing home. This bill would end that. In other words, you would be able to go to get and stay at your own home or stay somewhere else. That's what that's all about. Does that answer it for you?
Lon, I'm Jane Stover, and over the years, we see that you have physical challenges. We see that you are seeing problems in education and you are taking action. We see that you are seeing problems in access for people who have special challenges and you are taking action. We see you addressing multiple societal evils. And yet, your demeanor is one of affection and welcome and embrace. What is the source of your hope and your caring?
I'm not sure. Okay. I don't know what to say about that.
Thank you.
I think his friends may have some thoughts on that.
I'm asking on behalf of Claudine Thomas, why did not Jimmy Carter sign that bill?
Well, it was basically Califano that signed it and made it for so that it would work, that it got passed. Because the Section 504 basically was the civil rights part of that bill, or that bill, or act. And that's what it was. It needed to be signed in order to be in used. As long as it wasn't signed, it wasn't in the process, or you could not use it to make them do what they said they were going to do. Does that make it clearer?
Enforceability.
It was enforceability. That's right. That's what it was.
Why didn't
he sign? All right. You want to know the real reasons why it didn't get signed? It's very simple. M-O-N-E-Y. It was going to cost money to do things like this that would be help people get accessible. In other words, it goes back to that same question. What we have here in the USA is our divine is money. It's not God. You know the divine right of kings? No, it's the divine right of people with money. And that's what we have. And that's why they didn't want to pass or didn't want to implement the act, the Rehabilitation Act. That's what the reason was. It's money.
Hi, Lon. Can you talk about barriers that are here at All Souls and accessibility issues at All Souls and how we can improve those?
Well, you're doing one thing. You're getting an elevator. That'll help a lot of people if they get getting up and down. But what the whole person, or what I would say would be done would be to leave spots in here for wheelchairs and things like that. Because what you have to have is what I've learned when I was at Lake Geneva. You have to be intentional. And this is a little off, but I'll say it anyway. We wanted more youth, more people, younger people to be at the retreat, basically. And the only way we did it, and we did it, we were only having 8 or 9 people come in the age range from about 18 to 35, which was the deal. What we did was say, we'll give you a building, you can have parties and these kinds of things. Within a year, we had 50. In other words, you have to be intentional, and you have to let people know that you are intentional with wanting them here. This is another disabilities kind of thing. In other words, you want Latinos, you want blacks, you want these people, you want people with disabilities, you make them welcome by this facility itself. And if you want youth, you have concerts that they would want to come to. A lot of the things that happen here, a lot of people come to this church or have in the past because of what we're doing right now, the forum, because it gives a sense of who we are. Does that make
I'd like to make some comments as well as ask a question. You talked about the time of chinging yourselves in the state capitol here, and I recall after that talking to a friend who was involved with the whole person who said it had been her job to buy the chain, and she'd gone into Home Depot or somewhere and was selecting chain, and she was asking questions, and they said, well, how is it you're going to be using the chain? Because that will affect what you need. And she thought, I don't think I'm going to say why I'm going to be using it. You know, the idea was this was kind of a secret kind of thing that people were not going to be prepared for. And she had quite a time figuring out which kind of chain she had to buy. But on a different note, one of the things that impacted me the most in my understanding of things, I remember a number of years ago that several of you would repeatedly say, this is a group that anyone can become part of, that you can not be part of this group and in a minute something can happen and you can become part of the group of disabled people. And so I think that was something that helped make me think about things, and that I've had two different times where I've been part of that, and I've discovered how difficult things are. For example, when I went to my grandson's wedding at the place where it was, they pushed me into a revolving door. And with my walker, I got stuck, and I almost fell, and we almost ended up with a 911 call. And it's hard to become conscious of things until you yourself have been impacted, even though you think you're understanding and pay attention to things. It's not that easy. Our buildings in Kansas City, City Hall and the courthouse, are very difficult to get into often. And I remember at one of them where they were doing construction and had shut off the normal way that you could get in, and there was a sign saying where to go, where for disabled to go to get in. So I got around and I got there, and here were two flights of stairs. And so I stood there waiting till someone came to help me. So what are some of the different buildings in the city that we can do something about, and what are some effective ways to try to get something to happen?
You're right, and this is what's ongoing, and that's why I talked about the Bill 620, which we tried to stop but put in because it prevents people like yourself saying, this is wrong, we need this fixed, and then you have to go through a whole procedure to make sure that they understand and they get lawyers and they do all kinds of things with that. The one thing to take into consideration, most people don't realize that a lot of the things that have occurred with the ADA and its revision is that basically you have curb cuts. You also had a movement that got buses with lifts, and you right now you have even the buses that bend down so that you don't have to step really high to get on. So a lot of the things that we basically don't realize, we have to be self-advocates. In other words, you have to let them know. And then you've got the CEO or the Office of Civil Rights that can help you get some things done. But it's going to, again, be harder because you've got people trying to stop all the things that are necessary. And there is a sense in this society that once you're older or once you have this, you basically are not worth anything. We have the Protestant work ethic, the whole thing. is what? You can't do that? You mean we have to make an accommodation for that? This is what the problem is. Although we've gotten better at it, it's still a problem. And I agree with you that we had a protest here in Kansas City in Jackson County Courthouse because you couldn't get in certain areas. When I was on a jury and they wanted me, I mean, the defense wanted me as a juror, thinking that I'd go their way. I didn't have one way or the other, but I couldn't get up the steps to the jury room, so I was let go. These are the kinds of things that happen. So I don't know. It's amazing what people don't know that they use was done because of people with disabilities.
I have one more question for you.
All right.
Is it along with her Carolyn's thoughts? You know, people try to help you, and occasionally, what her comment was that when they helped her, they pushed her into a spot that she didn't want to be in, or was. So, does this happen? And what steps do you think we should take to train people how to help in a constructive manner?
Very simple, and it's so simple it's almost ridiculous. Is ask. Don't do something for somebody unless you've already asked, because they'll tell you. Now, some people won't do anything about it and not ask you. So if you see something going on that you think you could help, don't help. Ask if they want help. And they'll tell you, especially if they're in a problem area, that they need help. But like I did with you today, you called and said, I'll give you a ride. And I went downstairs and cleaned off the car and basically called you and said no. And that's one of the things that you have to basically understand. All you have to do is ask. That's as simple as I can put it.
Well, thank you.
Next week we have Sly James is going to speak on the state of the city. I'm sure we'll have a little bit of a crowd. Thank you all for coming out for today, since the terrible weather we've had. You're welcome to stay for the service in just 10 minutes or so, and then Lon will be in the library for a few minutes after this. And what's her? Oh, yes. And we have the honorarium cup that we would like to give to our good friend here, Lon Swern.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening. I hope you've enjoyed tonight's presentation, Disability Rights and Civil Rights, with Lon Swearingen. This program was recorded on Sunday, January 14th, at All Souls Unitarian Universalist Church. All Souls Forum is edited and produced for broadcast by Christina Frazier. Our theme song was composed, performed, and recorded by musician Fred Potter. This program will be available for podcast within one day of broadcast on the KKFI website, kkfi.org. Remember, you can also find archived All Souls podcasts and many other interesting and enlightening public affairs programs produced by KKFI on the KKFI website. Thanks for joining us this evening, and we hope you tune in next week, same time, same place, when we will continue the conversation here at 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City's community radio station.